is the fourth chapter, verses 6 through 9. Bring your Bible with you tonight and bring your sword. Amen. This is not the battle zone, but it can be sometimes. This sure ought to be the sharpening place. Amen. The place where we sharpen up, shaping up. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost help us. Amen. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord tonight. Amen. Philippians, the fourth chapter, is where I want to go to. Amen. And lately we've been taking texts all over Philippians and Romans. Tonight, Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace of God shall be with you. Boy, he's talking about application. Application to the things that you've both learned, heard, received, what Paul has put before them. He said, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Don't you love the peace of God? Amen. I love the peace of God. We're living in a world, I'm telling you, if you only just breathe just a little bit more, there's going to be things that will try to provoke your faith and provoke your spirit. Things will come against you, but I want the things of God in my life to matter. How about that? Amen. Praise God. Lord, we love you and we praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to be a student of your word, your will. Help me, Lord God, to know your word, God, in all things, and know how to follow your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Application. Prescription in a bottle. Medicine in a bottle will not help you if you take it. And the word of God, without application, would do you no good till you learn to apply. Let me say this, there are people that want the word of God, they're knowledgeable in the word of God, but they don't do the will of God. The will of God is doing the word of God. You can know the word and not do the word. And when you don't do it, you're not doing the will of God. And tonight, the scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests, let be known to God. I'm glad that God still takes special requests, common requests, and odd requests. God is still one that still answers when we seek his face. Amen. And he said, the peace of God. God is why am I having this peace? Have you ever given yourself a moment of certainty that peace and God is falling apart? Why am I not falling apart? I'm glad that the help of God comes at the moment that I need God. The peace of God that passes all understanding, reasonability of mankind. You can't put things together. You can't bring to the bottom line. God is beyond the bottom line of reasonability. My God's still God today. Amen. But it comes when we let the Lord have his way and apply application. And the scripture talks right here about careful, don't be anxious and worried. Amen. But you need to be mindful of what matters to God. And so today, living a life in an untoward generation. Acts the second chapter, it says, save yourself from this. This was a scripture. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. 243. dragged yourselves into an untoward generation, Jacob. An untoward generation. Of this hour, the time that we're living in, time is still moving. The current of fads and all these mindsets are here today. Man, I gotta save myself from this misdirection, wrong-going generation. This world should not be your home. But you should be passing through by the old soul. But I want what I'm here for, my little times. I want to keep myself from the things that are uncertain. I want to keep myself from untoward things. Amen. And a generation that professes that they have all the answers. Generation that has all the fix. And I don't want to tell you I don't have the answer. I don't have the fix. But I know who does. That's where we put our confidence in God in a time of uncertainty. In an untoward generation, I'm glad that God's still marching forward and God is still absolute. The Word of God. And I always like to use this. This book's going to be right 9 times out of 9. Every time, the Word of God's going to be right. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it when, amen, I get my nose and toes point the right direction. Amen. The highways of life is not what we're supposed to follow to get to heaven, but it's the old path. The old path still gets you there. Amen. That old path never, amen, it never grows old, really. But there's renewing, everlasting renewal when you follow the old path. Amen. The highways of life and the consequences of the untoward direction will always cost you. Amen. Things get old. Sin has a quick expiration date. The pleasures of sin, the Bible says, are just for a season. Amen. And if you're not careful, what feels good today will be your prison cell tomorrow. The pleasures of sin are just for a season. But today I want to just talk to you and let me confess to you what challenged me to get to this point. God challenges you sometimes. He speaks to your heart in many different ways. Sister Crosswhite and I were headed to Hillsville last night to a service. Brother Larry Booker was speaking, so we wanted to go. We were Brother Petrie, Brother Booker. And while we were traveling, my wife was studying. She was studying. And finally, she got quiet and I said, well, can I listen to the radio? I'm the type of, I can't study and listen to radio. Brother Savala, when he's doing something, he can listen to something. Isaac's that way. Isaac has something all the time. He can function. I can't function. I've got one track mind and a four-lane highway. So I said, well, can I listen to something? And we turned XM Radio on in her car, Sirius Radio, whatever it is. And I was or certainty talking to our psychics. These people, they say, psychics will tell you the future. And if you've got a problem, 20 minutes for $20, they'll get you extra pay. They'll definitely pay. You pay the price, you make a deal with them, and they're going to fix all the uncertainties in your life and you can enjoy living. And I got to thinking and chewing on that. Around the corner. Amen. And I believe these psychics, I believe they can tell you different things around the corner. I believe witchcraft is really real. I believe that palm readers are really real. Amen. But they're really real influenced with the spirit of hell. And some of these people that go around and prophesy to people. You ever been around some groups of people that all, when they prophesy, all they want to tell you all the good? When I grew up, brother, amen, sister, amen, when a prophet came to town, he told you there's somebody in the house needs to repent tonight. And he not only told you what's good, he'll tell you what's good for your soul. This generation, they want to tell you, oh, they look at the crystal ball on your hair, on your head. They want to tell you good. I see this. They want to tell you that's a bunch of baloney. The same spirit working the fortune teller works in many of that mess. Amen. I thank God for the preaching of the word that instructs me but corrects me. I still need correction in my life. I still need the Holy Ghost to work on me. Amen. I need a good tuning of the Holy Ghost. How about you? I need God to tune me. I come here to get shapen. Amen. I want my life to be shapen and sharpened for Jesus Christ. Amen. Instruction sometimes has a tenor with it. Amen. Of correction. That you got to do something. Amen. You got to obey something. You got to apply something. You got to head a certain direction. We're living in our untoward generation. I want to be able to enjoy living for Jesus Christ. I want to enjoy living a life of certainty. Knowing that, whoa, amen, I got a God that's on my side. Amen. Living a life of certainty doesn't necessarily mean that there won't be challenges, there won't be uncertainties, there won't be problems that will come your way. If you live for God, there's going to be things that come your way. There's going to be things that will try your faith, try your patience, and try your Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. How many has ever had your Holy Ghost tried? Amen. Like Savala said, you can shout on one night and you get your trial the next day. Amen. But I want to tell that there is a sense of inner peace and confidence and assurance in the midst of life's uncertainties. In the midst of the storm, I'm glad that Jesus is still the anchor. Amen. Faith and trust in the Almighty God, amen, will keep you. But there's some other things, amen. Oh, it involves having even more than just knowing God, but learning how to lean on God, not your understanding. It's hard to lean on God. God, why is this happening? But when you put your lean on Him, amen, and throw all your lean on Him, all your weight, I don't know why this has happened, but God, I know you have it. Amen. Not only does He have your back, but He has your future. He has your today. Amen. He's still God of yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. When you really learn to lean on Him, not your understanding, not your reasonability. You know, as a man, most men are this way. We always like to fix things. You got a problem sometimes in my life. I don't need a band-aid for the headache. In other words, she's telling me, she don't need to be Mr. Fix-It. Get your Mr. Fix-It at all, she's telling me. And just hear me. Anybody ever had that in your relationship? Yeah. And they don't want to just have it fixed and drawn to a conclusion and hear, you know, my psychology, or my reasonability. She wants to just, for me, she's trying to communicate something to me. And many times we try to bottom line it, fix it, bring it to a conclusion. And God said, hold it. You can't do it. You're going to have to trust me with it. You got to trust me that I'm going to see you through it. Amen. The Lord is still our shepherd tonight. And what He leads you to, God is God enough to lead you through. But you got to keep your trust in God. Amen. You want to enjoy a life of certainty. Start learning to trust the Lord. Amen. He will navigate your life, you through your life's challenges. Next thing, you have to know that there is a purpose for your soul. I will just tell you, my God, God has a purpose for you. And I want you to get this today. If you can get anything and apply anything tonight and swallow anything, is this. When God made man, God reached in his arsenal of weapons, and the greatest weapon that God chose out was not might. It wasn't something that he could flex and show you how strong he was. God didn't bring out muscle. God's not going to muscle you into subjection or obedience or into following him. Do you know what God chose out of his arsenal? He chose one of the greatest weapons there is. The greatest weaponry of God is love. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling somebody tonight, if you can get this in your mind, you can start enjoying living for God. God don't have a whip tonight where he just want to whip you up. He don't want to whip you into serving him, but God wants to love you into knowing him. God wants to love you with goodness and grace. In fact, the scripture says it is his goodness that leadeth man to repentance. Ooh, hallelujah. You ever seen all the Greek mythology and all the mythologies in the past? There was a god of love called Eros or Cupid. Little angel with an arrow. And well, I want to tell you, God's not Cupid and God's not stupid. But God's after you with love. God is after your soul with love. God is after your life with love. Amen. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to settle for destruction. I want to tell somebody, we may be in an untoward generation, but we don't have to go that way because of Calvary. Jesus hanging on the cross. I want you to get the picture, amen, but I want you to see beyond the picture of Calvary. Here was a man beaten to ribbons and rags, and flesh was just cut to pieces, bleeding all over, a bloody mess. And somebody said they had stripped him of all his garments. He was a naked man clothed with the blood. As blood cloaked his body and flowing down. And as he was there in pain, wearing only a crown of thorns, and he was that he could have got out of and could have called the angels to him, or he didn't have to call the angels. He could have spoke the word, I believe. And on both sides of him were criminals, condemned criminals that were being executed as well. One on one side began to mock with the crowd, and the other one started in, but somewhere in time, he got a little sense, didn't he? He got a little realization. Realization dawned on him. He said, you know, this man had been, we're bad people. We're thieves. We're hard criminals. We're wanted men. This man hasn't done anything. I'm going to tell you, friend, amen. The reaching hand of God's love reached to that thief on the cross. I believe that the other one just had a little common sense, a little realization, that love would have reached him. Amen. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, reached out, amen, to reckon for you to recognize that his loving mercy reaches around the world. For as the east is from the west, he'll remove your transgressions from you if you will love him. Love is an application that you must give back to God. Love is an application. Many people today live in a welfare society where they enjoy giving, but they do not give back. They want the freebies. I believe grace is something free. You don't earn it. The grace of God is a free thing. But God don't want you just to be a recipient and not a giver back. God wants you to do something with grace. And when you receive that favor of God, it's not just going to favor you with the benefits, but it's going to flavor and awaken something inside of you that you're going to love God back. He reaches with love that you can turn and realize, Lord, I love you. Oh, God, help me today. I worship you for your grace and your goodness. Application still works. Great love of God. There's something. Whenever you realize the love of God, it stabilizes your emotions. The enemy comes to try to talk you out of the love, as he did with Eve. Love you. What he does, he twists the word of God and says to Eve, you know, he's restricting you. You of restriction in your life instead of God loving you, I want you to recognize very quickly it's the enemy. You can live for God and you can be something for God. The enemy wants to steal that stability out of your life and that recognition of the love of God. And he always wants to twist that great weapon of God. Friend, I don't want to twist it. I don't want to hold back the love of God. I don't want to slap the hand that is trying to reach and save me. But I want God's hand to touch me. I want God's hand to tune my heart, change my heart, bless my life. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? You feel the presence of the Lord. There's been times I felt the Holy Ghost and I don't know. I didn't say, oh God, help me. I'm just doing my own routine in life, and all of a sudden I forgot to speak to the Lord. God touched first. Has you ever had that happen to you? Just turn on the voice of God. And in my mind, I'm going, I didn't make a move to make a move. That ought to teach us that God will teach you involved in this circle of love and his way of love. Amen. His goodness and his grace. God's weapon is love, the strongest thing. Have you ever seen somebody that loves somebody? Amen. Somebody that loves you in spite of you, in spite of who you've been and what you've done. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, I'm glad that my God loves me in spite of my failures, in spite of my faults. That's where I have to trust God and lean on him and say, God, I'm thankful for what you've done. And don't give me one bit of a license for me to sin. And he loves me, so I'm going to go ahead and just give you my life. This will, you really need to be lined up with this man. There must be a turn. There must be repentance. There must be a change of heart and mind. There must be godly sorrow. There must be something inside of you that awakens that awareness, that love of God, man. Thank God, brother. Stay with God, he will stay with you through the storm and through the fire. Amen. He's going to be with you. He will not abandon you. Oh, Daniel, you are loved. Hungry to please God and you're more desirous to do the things of God. I don't care about the hunger of the world and the threats of the world. Even my God will walk with you through that. Three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. There was a God that walked with them there. Amen. You want your soul to be terrified. Means he delivers you from the power of sin. I love it whenever, amen, you have peace on the inside in the midst of your storm. God sanctifies you holy. And he said, I pray God your whole spirit and body, or spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that call you who will also do it. I want you to get it. God starts always with the spirit, soul and body. We got to keep our spirits guarded. Things are always after our spirit. If the enemy can get your spirit, your attitude, and the way you think, He got you. He has you. The Bible says the spirit of a man that's a candle searches all things. You know, I'm telling you, God looks at your spirit. Man always judges from the outside. God always judges from the inside. And I want you to think with me. Paul, he talked about having a thorn in the flesh. Paul talked about having a thorn in the flesh. Something irritated him in life. You ever had a thorn? That thorn continually, the moment it sticks you, it works. The moment a thorn gets into you, especially when old black thorns that you have in the woods here in East Texas, they ever get just a tip of one, gets in your foot or your hand or wherever, it immediately starts working on. I mean, it hurts. It don't take long that your body starts responding. It gets red and full of corruption. And I mean, every time you touch it, it lets you know it's there. Can you imagine with me? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. But hear me, amen. He didn't say I had a thorn in my spirit. I want to talk to a saint of God here tonight. God is dealing with you. There's things that are coming against you. You may have many thorns in your flesh, agitations, things that are bothering you, but don't ever let them get in your spirit. I've seen people that get soured over every little thing and they want to shut up on God. Amen. We got enough sour people in this generation. Do you remember Jesus came to the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree because it didn't bear forth fruit? It was all nothing but leaves. The reason why that fig tree was cursed, it had a root problem. The Bible teaches us, amen, beware lest a root of bitterness. Somebody said root of bitterness. Springing up, root of bitterness springing up defiles not just you, but will defile many. I tell you, bitterness is contagious. It's a contagious thing. The devil wants to put bitterness in your life. I know a very bitter man, and he's about like a vampire or a snake or something. He wants to get his fangs in anybody that's doing good. And if he catches somebody weak, he injects that venom of bitterness in them. He hates church and he wants to pretend to be something of God, but he hates the structure and the things of God's word so much that anytime he finds a weak one, bitterness. I tell you, bitterness will destroy you and destroy me. Keep yourself, guard yourself, watch yourself. Amen. God wants the church to look to him. Amen. Hebrews, actually that scripture 12:15 of Hebrews says, look at diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby be defiled. Jesus wants to keep your roots from rotten with the wrong spirit. Jesus wants you to be rooted and grounded in and start producing some fruit in your life. Some great things start happening in your life. Joy, peace, in the Holy Ghost, and rejections will come. But remember who you are in God. Whose you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. Remember your identity. He really wants you to be victorious. But the world wants to paint you in a corner, and the enemy wants to paint you in a corner. The enemy wants to take your vision away of whose you belong to. Remember the 12 spies were sent. They were sent to spy out the land. The Bible says 10 came back with a report that we're grasshoppers in the sight of these people. They're giants. But two other came back, and they came back and they said, we're the giants. They're the grasshoppers. I want to just say this today. Amen. You live for God, you're God's hero. You're God's giant. Amen. The enemy said, you're just a grasshopper. Folks, I want to tell you, when you belong to God, amen, you are something for God. Amen. I don't care how big your Goliath is. I don't know how mean he is. I don't care what kind of record he has. I have a God. The battle don't belong to you and I. It belongs to God anyway. God wants you to enjoy living for him. Don't let depression and anxiety start ruining and ruining your life. Don't let all these things come in your soul. Oh, to God. Some people say, there's some preachers that will preach Mind over matter. I just want to tell you, you need to mind what matters. The word of the Lord. Scripture says in Jude, but beloved, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You're not responsible for everything that happens to you, but you are responsible for how you react and what you do with the love of God. God wants you to enjoy praying. Don't let your prayer just be something that just you have to do. I got to pray. I got to pray. You get to pray. Let praying be a joyful thing. A thing that you enjoy by start exercising your faith when you pray. We're not praying to Baal. We're not praying to the Lord of the Flies. We're not praying to a statue. We're not praying to something that is that can't hear, can't see. I have a God that's still answering prayers today. I got a God who's well able to reach and perform the impossible today. When you pray, don't pray like a heathen. Always repeating and chanting and always just whatever. Hey, I pray to a never-failing, unchanging God who has all power, even beyond this world, even into the supernatural. My God's still God. God wants you. Your grandson, the privilege of keeping him yesterday. And he comes looking for him. He comes calling. I better enjoy it while he's young. They get 12, 13 years old, all of a sudden they don't know who you are anymore. They get 16 years old, they're embarrassed of who you are. You know that? And finally, when they get, you know, later in life, they realize how valuable you are. You know? But I want to enjoy to God. I want to seek after God. I don't want God always have to knock and nudge me to get my attention. I want to be the one that seeks Him first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't stop there. And His righteousness. I need His righteousness. And then all the other things will be added. Amen. Can God have first place in your life? When God has first in your life, you talk to God. You ever woke up in the middle of the morning, early morning hours, and you went, why am I awake? And I love it. Because I go, okay. The people that go, I can't go to sleep. And they twist and turn. You want to twist and turn. God's trying to get you to talk to Him. He said, oh, God, I'm miserable. Oh, God, help me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God. Listen. You ever say yes to God? I mean, there's times I wake up. Back to sleep. And one day I said, yes, God. I said, for the Lord. I said, I just want to love you. I got out of that bed and went to kneel. And I went to kneel. The Lord said, no. I want you to sit. Well, Lord, the proper way for me to pray is kneel. No, just sit here. And the place that I felt beckoned to sit was Sister Crosswise's refinery. Sitting there. Now, I'm not supposed to be sitting in a recliner praying because you know what happens when you get in a recliner. Yeah. Sleepy man gets you. But the Lord says, sit there. Just relax. Just a little bit. I want to talk to you. I want to love you. Young person, hear me. Whoever you are, you're not too young to let God start talking to your heart. If you know the voice of God right now, you would and enjoy the voice of God in your life. When you get my age, 55 years old, amen, it'll be something that you would treasure. And you'll thank God that you learned to tune in to the voice of God. Hear me, young lady, tonight. God just don't speak to men. God will speak to your heart as well. But you need to say, God, I want to learn to listen. I want to learn to hear your voice and recognize and identify your voice and learn to enjoy praying and talking to you. I want to enjoy that. I don't want it to be a pain. I got to pray, but I want it to become a get to, even a certainty in my life, something that is absolute, something that is joyful. Next thing is worship. a little bit to get you to love him. Boy, what does God have to do to get you to love him? Oh, he loves you. But he loves it more whenever you do the loving without him having to touch you, without him having to bless you, without God having to, you know, God shouldn't have to say, okay, here's your carrot. God shouldn't have to give you candy apples in order to get your heart. God shouldn't have to give you roses and a box of chocolates. It ought to be, Lord, I want to praise you for who you are, what you've done for me. God, I come to worship you. I come to love you. Hey, you walk in his house. You've had another opportunity to praise God. Thank you, bro. I watch people worship sometimes and I go, whoop. That's not worship. We were somewhere not too long ago. They had some people on the platform. I mean, oh man, he's doing what everybody else is doing. He's not doing right here. It's a privilege to be in the house of God. Give you a rut, a rut that might be great. This is not for you anyway, it's for Jesus. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy worshiping God. I was going to put these self-tapping screws with my drill in this piece of tin in the metal. I would try. And when I get going, it's going to fall in there. I would grab it and see if I have more than I had in the box. Now, trial and error. I mean, I'm so frustrated. I said, I'm going to do this. And somebody on the ground said, Pastor, look how you're holding the drill. You're trying to point it down when you put your pressure. Keep it straight. And he said, you're trying to muscle that into doing it. He said, just keep it straight with a little pressure. Hit the button and watch what happens. What I was trying to do, I was trying to push it. Trying to stab it in there and get it. But in doing so, I was going at a wrong angle. And when I did that, I was like, it worked. Man, I was excited. I got me another one. And another. Look what I'm doing. No. Amen. It took a little instruction. I want you to realize there's some things in life sometimes that will not work. God just sometimes don't let you have victory all by yourself. Because after a while, you start thinking, look what I've done. Look how great I am. Woo, look how powerful I am. Look, wow. God says, sometimes you've got to take some time to lean on me. I'm telling you, there's signs that people is going to get under your skin, and all of a sudden, you're ready to blow your lid. I say, amen. There's things that are going to happen, and you're going to have to say, okay, God, I can't handle this. Have you ever had somebody you couldn't handle? Have you ever had a circumstance that got the best of you? And the worst of you? Like me, just keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep failing, keep failing. Learn to say, okay, God, I need your help. That old thought keeps coming back in your mind when I like to get my hands on that individual. Amen. We learn to give the battle to God. God will help you win your victory. And God's not just going to want to do it for you himself. God wants to help through you to have victory. Godliness with contentment. Anybody knows it? It's a great thing. I want to be content with my God. Have contentment with God. You're going to have godliness. Godliness with contentment is godliness. And God, his glory doesn't come out. His spirit works in you. His law, his word is operating. Love for your life. Amen. Lift your hands and just love him. Lift your voice to him. Amen. From your heart and just tell him tonight, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you today, God, for who you are, for what you're doing. God, whose I am. I belong to you, Jesus. You paid for me, God, to give me victory. Help me to learn to apply. Help me learn to put the prescription, Lord, into place in my life. Help me, oh God, to let you shape me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Work on me right now, God. Work on my spirit. Work on my heart. God, I really want to enjoy living for you. God, I want to enjoy walking with you. I want that joy of a certainty in my life. Hallelujah. 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 Dial this number and they're going to get your credit card. You can talk to them. Spirit of Jesus Christ to settle inside of us. Lord, seal me with your spirit. Seal me with your promise, oh God. Seal me, Lord, with that joy, oh God, in my heart. Hallelujah. After all the scriptures said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Come on, there's some that haven't found that joy of worship. Amen. Oh, that realness of worship. Lord, I don't want to go through a routine tonight. Lord, I just don't want to just come to church and go through the same emotion. Lord, I want to worship you. I want to enjoy living for you. I want to enjoy taking what you have with me, Lord, tonight beyond the premises. God, I want to know it, Lord, when I put my head on the pillow at night, that there's peace and joy and confidence and contentment. And Lord, that I can have that Lord, enjoyment in my relationship. I love you, Lord. I worship you. Come on, won't you tell him how much you love him? Come on, express it. Lord, I love you. Amen. That's what he's waiting for. The most powerful weapon he used was love. Amen. But oh, friend, you know what stops God? Amen. When you love him back, when you love him, he'll stop. He'll turn to you. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes we just got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes you got to make that effort. You got to make that application. You got to apply. Taste it. See for yourself. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Lord, help me to go in this, go with this, Lord. Develop me, work on me, Jesus. Lord, be Lord of all in our lives. And help us to be more than conquerors tonight. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, you're dismissed tonight. Take this with you. God bless you. I love you. Let's go to heaven, how? You're dismissed.